The best bit of advice that I ever received about how to pray was this: keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. You've got to keep it simple so that the most natural thing in the world doesn't become complicated, weird, intense. And you've got to keep it real, because when life hurts like hell, you're going to be tempted to pretend that you're fine. And then at other times, when you make a mess of things, you're going to be tempted to hide from God, which never really works, and end up hiding from yourself, which works quite well. And you've got to keep it up, because life's tough and the battle is fierce. God isn't some algorithm. The journey of faith demands a certain bloody-mindedness of us all, not least in the realm of prayer. It was the holiest moment of my day, bedtime prayers with one of our boys. Hudson was warm and clean, smelling of soap and dressed in his superhero pajamas. Soon enough he would be asleep. Peace would reign again in our home. All would be well in the world. "No bad dreams, Lord," I whispered. "May Huddy know how much you love him. May he grow up to be a Christian." "No!" a little voice yelled in my ear. "No, Daddy," he said again, scowling and indignant. I don't want to be a Christian when I grow up." "Oh," I said, a little deflated, trying not to look too disappointed. Do you mind telling me why?" "When I grow up, Daddy," he said, puffing out his pigeon chest, "I want to be Batman." "Oh," I said again, and pulled him a little closer. We sat there quietly for a bit. "I think," I ventured at last, "it's possible to be both." There are definitely days that I'd prefer a set of personal superpowers to slogging away at the slow, confusing business of prayer. God knows that we don't always find it easy to string a sentence together in his presence. He remembers, as the psalmist says, that we are dust. He understands that we sometimes get tongue-tied, distracted, overwhelmed, confused. He doesn't get insecure if we occasionally doubt his existence. He sees our bruised and broken hearts and accepts that prayer hasn't always seemed to help. He isn't in the least bit annoyed that we occasionally find talking to him a bit boring, or that we would sometimes prefer to scale the Empire State Building covered in spandex and merely meekly go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. But the thing is this: he likes us a lot. God wants to spend time with us even more than we want to spend time with him. This is a mind-blowing truth. It means that whenever you make the effort to approach the Lord in prayer, he's already waiting there for you with a smile. Try to remember this next time you step into a prayer room or settle down with a Bible. He's not frowning. He's not looking bored. He's probably pleased that you're just listening to this book now. In the coming chapters, we'll explore different aspects of prayer, but the heart pumping life through it all is love. Lose that sense of prayer as friendship, and there'll be nothing left but theory and technique. As the Ancient Mariner says in Coleridge's famous poem, "He prayeth well who loveth well." In the previous